Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. Think about the words you just sung. Think about the prayer that you just shared. The intimacy of that. Our hearts, the nearest and dearest thing to who we are, and our emotions, where we keep the good emotions, and where we keep the bad emotions. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. That song comes from a passage of Scripture where Paul was writing to a church in Ephesus. And that line comes from his prayer that he has at the very beginning of that letter. He says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope. In order that you may know. It's a word that's easy to skip over. It's a word that sometimes we don't realize that the depth of what Paul is praying here. The eyes of our heart would be open so that we could know the hope. A deep, rooted, thick knowledge, not just a mental knowledge, but a heart knowledge. Open the eyes of my heart so I may know the hope. So that I may know the hope for which you have called me to. God has called each and every one of us. Those of us who have responded to that call, we're called Christians. We are children of God. Those of you who have not yet responded, God is calling you, I guarantee you. And you've heard him, you've felt him, you've felt that movement on your very heart. And we are called in this prayer to know the hope that God has called us to. And I question, do we who are Christians, do we really know the hope that we're called to? Do we really know that hope? He says that you may know the hope to which he has called you to, or which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for who? For us who believe. There's something kind of interesting that I've noticed in Scripture, and that is that when you see this word hope connected to the hope that's waiting for us, that word hope is connected to this other word called power. And it's amazing when you see those two working together, and we use that word power a lot around us. We think about a lot of things that are powerful. I think of like a steamroller. How many of you would like to stand in front of a running steamroller with Terry West at the wheel? I don't care who's at the wheel. I would be scared because I understand that that machine contains what I would consider power, the power to squish me like a pancake. I don't quite desire to be squished like a pancake. Power. You think of things that are powerful. Bazooka. That's powerful, isn't it? At least in Rambo movies it is. Any of those shoot 'em up movies, them bazookas, they use them for all sorts of stuff. Bazooka. I think of Niagara Falls when I think of power. How many of you guys ever been to Niagara Falls? It's beautiful, isn't it? It's powerful, isn't it? We stopped there when I was on tour in college on the tour bus, and we were passing by, and we thought it would be wise to stop, but it was 3 o'clock in the morning, so we all got out of the bus. Okay, there it is. Let's go. But it was enough to see the power and hear the power and just look at that. And that, to me, when you describe this word power, I look at that and I say, you know, that's powerful. Or jalapeno peppers. Or for those of you who have been working your way through a dish of General Tso's chicken and you've accidentally been talking or something and bit into a cayenne pepper. That's powerful. You agree? Yes, even people that like hot stuff, they're saying cayenne peppers. That's powerful. You know, the smell of gas is not related to the peppers. Get the peppers out of your mind, okay? The smell of gasoline. That's where I'm going. The smell of gasoline. That's a powerful smell. You've been at the pump and you've been getting gasoline. You get some on your jeans or your shoes, and everywhere you go that day, you're thinking, "Ooh, I smell gasoline." Get you guys on the right track with me. I smell gasoline. You walk into a room and everybody's like, "Ooh, who spilled the gasoline on their pants?" Power. We think of these things. We think of power. We think about the space shuttle launching. How many of you guys have actually seen that? Yeah, I've never seen that, but just watching it like live. I've watched it on TV, and that to me, if you were there live, that to me would be a powerful scene. Is it? So you guys raise your hands? Yes? You've just got gobs of flame, just like one constant explosion, throwing this thing, this space shuttle up into space. And I see that on TV and I think, you know what? That's powerful. And in this prayer that Paul has for the Ephesians, he says, I want you to know the hope that comes from this God that has incomparable power. He has incomparable. You take anything that you could think of that is powerful, some of the things that we've listed here, and his power is incomparable. You can't come up with a list big enough or an object powerful enough or a combination of powerful enough objects or a combination of situations or circumstances that can even be comparable to the power of the God who has offered us hope that we should know. He says, in his incomparably great power for us, who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority. And there's that word again. And what? Power and dominion and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. He says this hope is given to us by God's incomparable power through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then he raised him from the dead and he took him up and he sits at the right hand of God above all other power. And that's where our hope lies, is in that man. Over in 1 Peter, a letter that was written to people who were suffering. A letter that was written to people who were really struggling because they were being persecuted for their faith. Their lives were on the line. Their families' lives were on the line. And Peter writes to them about this understanding of this hope. He says, "Praise be to God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a what? To a living hope." To know this hope. We've been given new birth. Those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ, we have laid our lives down before God. We've been given new birth. Can I get some amens? We've been given new birth into a hope that is not dead. A hope that is not empty. A hope that is living, that is full of life. We hope for a lot of things in this life, don't we? I hope I get a bicycle for Christmas. How many of you guys remember hoping that? I hope those cookies I smell are for me. I hope she likes the flowers I picked out for her. I hope he appreciates me cleaning the house. You know, I hope that I turned off the right circuit breaker when I was wiring the outlet. We have a lot of things that we use that word hope for. And a lot of those hopes that we use the word for, we have no assurance of what we're hoping for. In fact, some of those hopes are empty. Sometimes we attach that word hope to something that we know won't happen. But this hope that we've been given, this hope that Paul's prayer was that we would open our hearts and know this hope that we have is a living hope. It is a hope with assurance. It is a hope that exists in a man who is alive, who died and rose again. And that power now exists in him, a living person who holds our hope. Our hope exists in a living God. Our hope is a living hope. Into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power. There's that word again. Right there by hope. Our hope. We're shielded by God's power. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice. Though for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials, these have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proven genuine and may result in the praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. The power of the resurrection gives me a living hope. It gives you a living hope. The power of the resurrection. We think about all these powers we talked about. And you think about the power to raise someone from the dead. Have any of us ever witnessed that? Now, some of you might have witnessed something where someone flatlined and they use a, you know, clear, and they came back to life. Praise God. Someone might have been dead a couple minutes and something clicked and they came back to life. But none of us have witnessed someone being dead for 3 days and coming back to life. It's that kind of power that gives us a living hope. And it's that kind of power that supersedes any circumstance that we might be dealing with. Any kind of trial. Any kind of a situation that you might find yourself in. Whether it's your own doing. Because sometimes we make stupid decisions. And we get ourselves in quite a mess. But this hope that we have exists in a power that's bigger than our mess. We're not big enough to make a mess too big for that power to not give us hope. Or maybe you're in a mess that you had nothing to do with. Maybe it's just a life situation. Something that has happened to you that maybe hasn't happened to others around you. And you feel like it's unique to you. But I guarantee you, it's common to mankind. And that situation is superseded by this power. This power that's incomparable. This power that gives us a living hope. And this hope, from what I understand of hope, is that hope is when my faith connects with God's power. I'll say that again so you guys can get that written down. Hope is when my faith connects with God's power. And that's why I believe we see this word power associated with hope. The only way to connect to that is through faith. And a guy that gives us a great example of that is a guy named Abraham from the Old Testament. Abraham was given a promise from God that he would have descendants so many that it would fill the sand on the seashore, that it would be as numerous as the stars in the sky. And God gave this promise to a man who could not have children, or at least to a couple who could not have children. He gave it to Abraham and Sarah, his wife. And they tried and they tried and they tried and they tried. And they couldn't have children. They were a barren couple. And they tried until they got into their old age. And they even tried other options of having these descendants, and all of them, they were wrong because God had promised them, I'll give you children. That promise was rooted in a God who is living, a God who has power. And the only way to connect with that power and gain hope from it is through faith. We're told in Romans 4 that Abraham against all hope, it's kind of a fun play on words, he believed in hope, in God. Skip on down to verse 21 with me there. It says, being fully persuaded that God had what? What's that word? What's that word? Tell me that word. Come on. I want to hear the word. There we go. You can't say power like a mouse. Come on now. Power. It's like power like you're an elephant. Power. Power. He said, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words, it was credited to him, were written not for him alone, but also for who? For us. To whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him, who raised Jesus Christ, or raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Power that gives us a living hope. We connect to it through faith. The power's there, but you don't get the hope without the faith. And Abraham is a great illustration of how that works. Abraham hoped, even when it didn't seem logical to hope. But he reasoned in a godly way that God has the power to do what he has told me that he will do. Even though earthly hope says it won't happen, my faith connects me to the power that exists in God, and that gives me hope. I really hope you're tracking with me. It's Paul's prayer is that we would know the hope. I want to know the hope. I want us all to know the hope. This morning. Later on in Romans, Paul comes back to this idea of hope. He says, may the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace. As you trust in him, which that's another way of describing faith, as you put your faith in him, as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with what? By the see him right there together. I didn't lie to you earlier. Where was I? I was standing somewhere around here, and I said, when you see in the Bible hope, it shows up beside the word power a lot. It does, doesn't it? And we see these two, and we get to connect through the power through faith, and that power, that hope. Elements of that hope are joy and peace. Joy and peace are elements of this hope that we have. No matter what your circumstance, no matter what your situation, no matter what kind of mess you've gotten yourself into, no matter what mess life has brought you, we have a God that's bigger than that mess. We have a God whose power is bigger than any power that you could encounter here on earth. And through faith, you connect to that power and you get a chance to hope. And that brings joy and peace. And that joy and peace creates more hope. I think it's a tough test. Look in the mirror. Ask your friends. Ask your family. Ask your coworkers. Do I just pour out joy? Ask them. It's going to be tough to get the answers. When I walk into a room, does it just all of a sudden feel more peaceful because I'm there? Because I believe if we're really connecting to this idea of hope, and we really know the hope that God has called us to, that has been made available to us through this incomparable power, then we should have joy. Not happiness. We should have peace. And it should show. And if it doesn't, then you got to take a step back. And you got to reevaluate. Where's your focus? Where's your hope? Because when my hopes and things of this world, or when my focus is on things of this world, when I get caught off guard and my mind is thinking about here and now, I'm not really full of joy. Not all the time. Sometimes a little bit of earthly happiness, but not that deep-rooted joy that comes through this thing called hope. But sometimes I'm not very peaceful. Sometimes I give a lot of grief. Sometimes I bring turmoil with me, and when I take a step back and I'm transparent with myself, I realize it's those times that I'm not really focusing on the power and the hope that await me, that's bigger than this world, that's bigger than any problem that I'm in, that's bigger than any situation that I'm frustrated about. But I can have joy and peace through all that because of this hope that I connect to. The writer of Hebrews also talks about Abraham and this whole idea of faith and hope. And he talks about this promise that God brought to Abraham. And he says that in chapter 6, he says, when God made this promise to Abraham, I really like this part. He says, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself. You know, if that were anyone other than God, that would sound just pompous beyond belief, wouldn't it? That would be so arrogant. I'm going to swear by something big and powerful. I'm going to swear by me. But God can get away with it, can't he? And it's completely legit. And the reason why God was doing that is because he wanted Abraham to know where the power was behind the hope that he could put his faith in. He said, I want to give you this promise, and I'm going to swear by the most powerful thing that exists, me. Not me, but God being me. I'm just speaking first person for God. You're with me. I love that. I'm going to swear by something powerful, something big, something that is solid, something that's secure. I want to swear by me. Saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And this is a key part to hope. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. Sometimes you got to wait. That's where the faith thing comes in. But he received what was promised. Abraham had faith. He reasoned that God had the power to do what he said he would do. He waited patiently. And in that waiting, that's hope. And what happened? God came through for him, didn't he? Because God swore by himself. Because there's no other power that he could swear by that would be bigger. Because he has incomparable power. And Abraham didn't even have the promise of the resurrection. He didn't even have the evidence of Jesus Christ being raised from the dead 3 days later, showing God's power, and yet he still had this faith that gave him this hope and the power that he believed that God had. And God then proved the power. Go on, skip down to verse 18 there. About halfway through it says, we who have fled to take hold of the hope. We who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. I like his language there. We who have fled to take hold. You know, you look in your life situations, the things that we deal with. Some of you guys are going through some really rough times. Some of you guys are going through times that things that you haven't shared with anybody. And you're really struggling with it. And you're really there and you're in the muck. And as I said earlier, sometimes it's things that you've done that have caused you to be in that position. Sometimes it's things that other people have done. Sometimes it's just life stuff that's happened. And I love this verse. Because the idea is that you're fleeing. You have fled that to take hold. To take hold of this hope. That's more powerful than any of that. And you take hold of this hope. And he says, this hope, it's like an anchor. an anchor on a large ship goes overboard and it goes down and it digs deep into the sand and it secures that boat so it does not move. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, this hope that we have, that you run to and you grab a hold of, it is secure, it is firm. This hope in God is an anchor for my life. It is firm and secure. We run to it, or we should be running to it. And if we know that hope, we can hang on to it. And we know that it's firm and secure because God is faithful. God is faithful. Over in chapter 10 of Hebrews, he says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. We know it's secure. We know it's firm. We know it's for sure because God is faithful. God doesn't fail. God doesn't let us down. God's never gone back on his word. If God has said something was going to happen, it happened. We have a faith in a God who's powerful and secure. And through that faith, we gain this thing called hope that each of us should know. You know, this past few weeks, we've been going through our Survivor series. We're coming up to VBS, and the whole idea is that it is Survivor, and we've been walking through the Lord's Prayer. Jesus says in chapter 6 of Matthew, he says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that day, we talked about prayer, and tonight, the kids are going to be learning about prayer. We moved on from that, and Joby shared about how in the Lord's Prayer it says, give us this day our daily bread, and the idea that God provides for us, and sometimes the way God provides for us is through others, and so we can provide for others if we're willing to share what God has provided for us. And so on Monday night, the children will be learning about share, what you guys learned about weeks ago. And it says, forgive us of our debts as we forgive those who have debts against us. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have hurt us. We talked about forgiveness, and the kids are going to be learning about forgiveness on Tuesday night. Last week, we talked about resistance, to resist temptation. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. And so today the subject was to overcome. In some translations and some manuscripts, it adds this final part that says, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. When I was looking at the topic of overcome, to overcome, to be an overcomer, and I talked with God about that. It's such a big topic. And I asked God, I said, what do you want me to share about this topic? And I really felt a burden. I really feel like he led me to this topic. And I really felt like he told me, I want you to tell my people about the hope that they can have in me. Because I don't know if they know. And they're suffering. They're hurting. They're people that should be hopeful and they're hopeless. They're people who should have joy. And they're pitiful. They're people who should have peace and they're in turmoil. And so go and share with them that how they can become overcomers is to simply find the hope that I have called them to and know it. Because we don't have to overcome these things. God already has through Jesus Christ. And he's made that available to us through this word called hope. And I feel like that's what God has asked me to bring, is just to share with you his hope he offers, the hope that you have been called to, the hope that connects us to God's power, God's firm, secure anchor that we can go and run to, that is our hope. Back in Peter, as he's writing to those who are suffering, he says, but in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. What's that word? Always. Always. Be prepared to give an answer to who? everyone. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone about the importance of baptism. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone about the realized eschatology of the book of Exodus. Always be prepared to tell everyone that the depth of the prophecy that is found in Revelation. No. What does he say? Always be prepared to answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope. For the hope that you have. The hope we have really is simple. My hope is because I simply place my faith in God, who is more powerful than anything around me. And your story of hope is different from any other person's story of hope. Your story is your story, and your story, and your story, and your story of how you have put your faith in God. And today we just looked at Abraham's story, and Abraham's story encourages us and lifts us up and helps us to be able to look and know that hope. We can help others to know that hope by your story. And what's interesting is every one of your stories is different, but every one of them actually is the same in the area that it's your faith that's connected you to God's power, and you found hope. And we're asked to share that in a world that desperately wants hope.